Welcome to the News for Gamers Podcast Radio for the week of December 3rd, 2007. And this week we have a small venue. We have just me, myself, and I. Mr. Gamers Colin is here with us as well.
I said hey.
And Wombat is going to be depressed that he missed that.
Yeah.
The Wombat is out this week with a personal issue, so we'll leave it at that. But he will be back next week.
Personal issues, huh?
And we do have to make note that next week will be our last show for 2 weeks.
Oh.
Due to the fact that I'm getting married on the 15th, so there will be no show that week.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun. And then the weekend after that, I will still be gone for the Christmas holiday as well as a few other things. So hopefully next week, hopefully sometime this week, we will get together and maybe even today run over some of the Game of the Year awards, because that will be the entire encompass of the show next week, is Game of the Year.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that sounds about right.
And we got a lot of good suggestions on the forums.
Oh, yeah. I've been reading the forums, and yeah, there's a lot of really good rewards.
Yeah, so we're going to have fun coming up with that. But let's get into this week's show, and we're going to start off with our normal, our standard setting here of what's fondling your console. Mr. Con, if I'm not mistaken, you got your coffin back.
I did. I got my Xbox 360 back from UPS, and it only took about a week and a half.
That's not too bad.
That's quite speedily.
Quite speedily?
Yeah. They made haste when they repaired my Xbox.
So what have you been fondling? Since you've gotten back your Xbox, you now have a PS3, and you obviously have stacks and stacks of great games to play.
Mm-hmm. I've been playing 3 games this week. 1, 2, and 3. The game I probably played least this week is King of Fighters 11.
Oh, you picked that up?
Yeah, I picked that up for the PlayStation 2.
Is it any different than the other 10?
Not really.
Is it online?
Not really.
Oh.
It looks a little bit prettier than the last one. A little bit.
I guess you can't complain too much for a budget title.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's the thing that kind of burns my biscuits about this game. Okay. Take the Wayback Machine back to the late 90s when the Sega Dreamcast came out. The Sega Dreamcast.
Sega Dreamcast.
The Dreamcast. Oh, my God. The Sega Dreamcast was essentially a Naomi board. Basically, the Naomi board was the arcade board that Sega and Capcom was using back at the time. Back in the day, if you
will.
Which was a Wednesday.
That's a Dan Cook joke.
Yeah, it was a Wednesday. Back in the day, it's always a Wednesday. But anyway, the Sega Dreamcast was the equivalent of the Naomi board.
It was the equivalent also of bad ass.
Yes, it was awesome. But, yeah, and then they came out with, like a couple years later, they came out with the Naomi 2 board.
Yes, I remember that.
Which was like two Naomis put together, kind of like the Nintendo Wii is like two GameCubes.
That reminds me, that's a terrible joke.
Yeah,
that reminds me of when I went to E3 in 1999, and they had the DOA arcade machine, DOA 2,
yeah.
And it was just running a demo, you couldn't play it. I remember seeing that and just going, oh my god, how is any system ever going to run that?
Exactly.
It was beautiful.
But keep in mind, the Masterpiece Fighter, Marvel vs. Capcom Part 2 was a Naomi title. It wasn't even Naomi 2. It was Naomi 1. It was the very first Naomi.
But it wasn't Naomi Campbell.
But it was not Naomi Campbell.
Okay.
You got that right. But yeah, then we got the Naomi 2, and I think only a few Japanese arcade titles had the Naomi 2 board. I think the like the newest incarnation of the Afterburner series at that time was a Naomi 2. arcade cabinet. And then just a couple years ago, they released a arcade board called the Atomos Wave, which was supposed to be basically the successor of the Naomi 2, and SNK basically said, we're going to start making games for the Atomos Wave now. So basically, when they made King of Fighters 11, that was supposed to be like their first major Atomos Wave made game. And I gotta say, what the heck? It doesn't even look as good as Marvel vs. Capcom 2. It's like why get this advanced hardware if you're not going to make a game that looks better than a three-generation-old arcade title?
I really couldn't begin to tell you why.
I mean, granted, I will say this. It does look better than any of the other King of Fighters that have yet to come.
It just makes me sad that they keep releasing these, but they don't bring them into the next gen with online play and all of that stuff. And, you know, I don't know, I'm such a King of Fighters fan, but at this point I've played so many of them.
Yeah, there's like over 11 of them now.
Yeah, and I'm like, why won't you give me online? Because the only reason I play King of Fighters is to play against other people. I don't play it to play by myself. I mean, there's...
And it's not like arcade machines in this area are just gleaming with SNK fighters.
Oh, please, if there's an SNK fighter around here somewhere, it's probably like Samurai Showdown. The first one,
or the fifth one.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. But that's the game I probably played least amount this week. I only played it for maybe an hour. And then the other game I played, a masterpiece for the PlayStation 3, is Uncharted.
Yes. I must say that I picked that up this week. Hey, I said I must say. But I'm not banned from it, so.
Yeah.
I also picked that up this week because I was waiting on one of you guys to finish it so I could borrow it, but you know what? I just couldn't wait, and I found a used copy. Somebody traded it in already. So I got it for like $49.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
And I absolutely adore that game.
It's awesome.
But I do have some complaints.
Such as?
It comes from being a critic, though.
Yeah.
I don't feel that there's enough ammo in the game. Like, I'm always searching for more ammo.
You know, I thought that... I thought it was just me. I thought it was because I suck at shooting games. And I was like, man. But thing is, the game kind of forces you to to fight.
And
like,
see,
hand-to-hand.
And I don't like that because the fighting mechanic is kind of meh. I mean,
yeah,
I don't like using it. And not to mention that when you go out to fight somebody, you can still get shot while you're in the middle of doing your little combos.
Yeah, and you can get killed very easily.
Oh, yeah, and I get killed like real fast when I go out there and try to punch them.
Did you play that one part that was like right after your that one dude, Scully? I don't know if that's his name.
The guy you're walking around with at the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he gets shot?
Sully is his name.
Sully. Excuse me.
You got X-Files on the brain?
Yeah, I got X-Files on the brain. But anyway, that part right after that scene, I must have got killed like 20 times.
It's a little frustrating sometimes when you're playing. It seems like they give you just enough ammo.
Yeah, just enough ammo. Barely survive.
I know, and I don't like, and I also, the other complaint that I have, and these are minor things, I'm not picking on the game or anything,
yeah,
but having to pick up the ammo manually drives me insane. Why can't I just walk over it and pick it up? I mean, it's an old video game cliche.
It is.
Whatever. But when I'm, like, low on pistol ammo, and I gotta, like, go out and search for the pistols that the guys have dropped.
And you're still being attacked by three or four guys shooting you?
Yeah, it can get tedious and frustrating sometimes. Other than that, though, I love that game.
Oh, man. I love that part where you're... Spoiler alert. Actually, it's not. It's just gameplay scene. But there's a part where you're crossing the top of a waterfall. Did you play that part? And it's like you're at the very top of the waterfall, and you're like climbing on these rocks and stuff.
Oh, I think so. Is that the one where you shoot the truck?
Yeah, where you shoot the truck,
yeah,
and the truck becomes lodged between the two rocks.
Yeah.
And then you have to run up the truck before it falls over. Oh, my God. That part... It made me think about how the future of gaming could be when you have dramatic camera angles and stage level design presented in a cinematic format, while at the same time you're in complete and total control of the movement of the character.
Yeah.
And it just flowed so good. And I was just like, man, the future for gaming is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, it's a very pretty game. And every time I play it, I marvel at something.
I mean,
it just looks really cool.
I mean, the graphics are absolutely beautiful.
It might be my pick for best looking game of the year.
I mean,
it really might. I mean, it is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the game. It's right now, it's probably in my top 10 games of the year. I mean, so.
Oh, it's definitely in my top 10.
It's probably, there's been so much stuff this year that I'm trying to, like, kick through all the games that I'm picking. But, you know, I think it's up there. It's definitely up there. So what else you been playing?
And the third game I've been playing.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I already talked to you about it earlier. For the Xbox 360.
The 360.
I just had to pick it up because it was my most anticipated game of the entire year, and that is Mass Effect.
The little opera version of Mass Effect.
Yeah, opera version. And I must... I have to say, this game is like one of the best games I've ever played.
It is a masterpiece, and I, like I told you the other day, I feel like I'm very close to the end of the game.
Uh-huh.
And I feel disappointed because I haven't went back and done a lot of the side stuff. But I think I'm going to take my character and go back through it again because you get to keep your levels and stuff. So,
well, that's awesome.
I think I'm going to go back through the game and play it again. But next time I'm playing, I'm going to play evil.
Because you're gonna be evil.
I've been very good this time through.
Yeah, I've been very good too.
I've been way too good, and I'm like being all nice to everybody, and I see the nasty responses, and I want to say them. I always want to say them. So I think I'm going to play through again with the same character, but this time I'm going to go full evil.
See how the plot thickens.
I do, because like it always amazes me when I'm playing that game, like depending on who I take with me, they will have comments about what's going on.
Yeah.
And it seems like they recorded the dialogue for every character to say something during each mission. And it really impresses me that they do that.
I mean, you could play this game, like, probably a dozen times and still get a different experience.
Did you pick up the blue chick yet?
Not yet.
Did you manage to find her?
Here's the thing. I played about 7 hours into the game, and then I restarted from the beginning. And I'm like 5 hours into it again, and I'm about as far as I was the first time. And I'm playing the game differently. I'm taking a different route, and I actually chose a slightly different background story. So I'm experiencing a little bit more of a difference in how people would react to me, and a couple things that I thought I made a mistake of in the first time I played like 7 hours into it. I tried to do better, and I got a couple things opened And I remember, like, in the very beginning of the game, when you would have to do the button sequences to unlock certain things.
Yeah.
I didn't get the hang of that until probably about 3 or 4 hours into the game. Whereas this time, when I restarted from the get-go, I was already good at doing the button presses. So it was all from the very beginning. I was opening the security doors and. And this time, I'm like 5 hours in, and I got a lot more stuff and a lot more notoriety in my character now. And, you know, it didn't even feel repetitive when I restarted it.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of BioWare's games is they make them open enough that you can play through them more than once, and you can have a totally different experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. Like, there's probably stuff that I've done that you have no idea about and that you may never see. And that's what's awesome about this game is just depending on who you take with you, which storylines you decide to follow, who you decide to talk to, how you decide to react to different things. Like, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a part later in the game where you got to make a choice. I can't really say too much about it, but you have to make a choice. And after you make that choice, people will talk about your decision and whether or not how they felt about it.
Hmm.
It was a pretty big choice. And it can affect, and the cool thing is the choice can affect other things in the game.
Like other future choices.
Like other things that are going to happen in the game. That choice will affect it. And when I came to that choice, I literally had to sit there for about 5 minutes and debate. And, like, my characters, like, my two little options here, my character's sitting there with their hands on the railing, like, looking around. I'm thinking, what choice do I make? Which one do I do?
Yeah. Because this game, I mean, it makes you really do it, like, sit back and kind of reflect what's going on.
Yeah. And it's, oh, it's deep.
It's a very deep game.
I just now started talking to Rex and getting some, like, history on him. I hadn't talked to him through the whole game because I never take him with me. I always take the blue chick and I always take the Turian, Garrus.
Yeah.
I always take him.
Garrus is awesome.
Yeah, I take him and I take Liara, and that's always my party. And then when I go through it again, I'm going to take two different people every time.
Hmm.
So I'm going to kind of play through the game with two squad mates that are the same through the whole game.
That's pretty sweet, man.
Yeah, and I will create a new character, too, and play through it again, because I want to play through as a soldier. Because right now I'm playing through as a Vanguard.
Yeah, same here.
And because I wanted to use biotics. And, you know, it took me 8 hours through the game before I realized I could map my biotic powers onto the R bumper.
Oh, yeah, I recently discovered that as well.
I was like, that's sad, because I'm like, do I always have to go to the menu to do this? And I just happened to be in the menu, and it said map this power. I'm like, I guess I should have paid attention.
Thing is, though, that's like one of the nitpicks about the game is that it doesn't really give you any tutorial of how to play
it. No, it doesn't give you a tutorial on how to do anything.
You basically have to figure out how to play the game.
Yeah, and I think that's a downfall. I really think that is because there's so much that you can do.
Yeah.
That they don't tell you that you can do, and when you discover it, you're like, damn, I'm already like 75% through the game. This would have been great to know 5-10 hours ago.
So, how many hours are you into it?
I think I'm like 12 hours into it.
12 hours?
And I don't know that I'm at the end of the game. It just feels like I'm at the end of the game.
Oh, okay.
Like, the way the story's going. But then again, like I said, I didn't go back and do a lot of my side quests. Like, I left a lot of side quests open on each planet, and I also only went to, like, 4 or 5 planets so far.
Yeah.
I haven't went around and explored all those other planets.
Oh, yeah. Well, I heard that one of the planets that you can actually land on is the Earth's moon.
Yeah, you can, and there's like a side quest mission up there and stuff, and
yeah.
I haven't done that. I did get another mission from somebody. They told me they wanted me to go somewhere, and I didn't go there yet. I went to my next mission in my storyline, and I don't know, because I know that they say when you go on the last mission, you can't go back. You can't go back and do anything else. So if I'm on that mission, you know, I'm done. I'll have to do it when I go through it again. So we shall see.
Yeah,
I get a chance to sit back down and play it.
The thing is, when I was playing this game, I was like, geez, how far we've come from, you know, the conventional idea of the video game, like from Donkey Kong and Pac-Man. And I was like, man, this is like the most cinematic experience, like, ever. And the thing is, Metal Gear Solid was a very cinematic experience as well, but it was different because you play the game, and then you watch the game. And you play the game, then you watch the game. With Mass Effect, when you're watching the game, you're still playing the game because you're making the decisions in the dialogues.
Yeah.
And how the story goes. And it kind of opened my eyes in seeing that this could be the future of not just video games, but it could also be the future of cinema. And I was like, man, can you imagine like a movie studio? You got all these movies like Transformers and big screen movies like Spider-Man and stuff like that. Like Spider-Man 3 took like $300 million to make, and like Transformers like took. Actually, Transformers, Michael Bay, he was pretty smart with that, and he only spent like $151 million.
I wish I could be smart and only spend $151 million.
Yeah.
I just wish I could spend $151 million.
Exactly. But you got a lot of movies like James Cameron. Every time he makes a movie, he always exceeds his budget, and he always makes a movie that, you know, is like the most expensive movie ever made. Every time he makes one, he breaks his own record. But and I was thinking to myself, you know, these movie studios, they're taking extremely big risks. in making like 300 plus million dollar movies. And I was thinking, what if instead of making movies, they actually hire an outside contractor, being a game company, in order to actually make a cinematic experience that's just as valid as an actual motion picture. So you'll have like a Warner Brothers production made by BioWare, and it would actually be funded by the movie studio. And I mean, can you imagine, like, they don't want to take a risk of a $300 million movie, but they'll be able to take the risk of making something like take for instance like Mass Effect. I mean, I think they only spent like what, $20 million to make that game, or even less. Can you imagine what that team could do with like double or triple the amount of money from like a movie studio?
No, would this be like an interactive experience on like DVD media or in a console or PC?
I think it'd be like maybe the next generation of consoles, like PlayStation 4 and Xbox, you know,
720
or super ooper duper Xbox.
Super ooper duper Xbox.
Yeah, that'd be the official name of the next Xbox, by the way.
I think Microsoft should contract you for that name.
Yeah,
definitely, because I would buy a super ooper duper Xbox.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't that just sound awesome?
Oh, yeah. It sounds really cool.
Yeah. You could pick it up at your closest thrift store. But anyway, I was thinking about that. I was like, man, this could be the future of not just gaming, but cinema itself. And I was like, man.
That'd be very interesting. So is that pretty much all you've been playing, is those three games?
Yeah, mostly Mass Effect, actually. Yeah, I'd say...
I wish my palette was that empty. I do. I wish my palette was that empty, because unfortunately, I've had to play so much stuff lately.
Oh, I bet.
Just for review, and it sucks because I'll come home and I'll have like a stack of games that I want to play, and then I'll have a stack of games that I have to play. So this week, and not all these games are bad, don't get me wrong. Like, for instance, this week, Area 51, I had to play for review. I really enjoyed that, and I reviewed that this week. I played through the rest of that, and I really enjoyed that. Soldier of Fortune, it's not a great game, but it's
violent.
It's very violent, and that's what's fun. I mean, I never get tired of going from enemy to enemy and blowing different body parts off. And when I manage to blow one of their heads off, and I wrote that in my review, I'm like, Soldier of Fortune, you know, has never been merited for its great storyline or its inventive gameplay or anything. It comes from the simple fact that I get a sick satisfaction from watching people's heads explode like watermelons. I do.
Yeah, that's,
I can't help it. It's a guilty pleasure. And I had a lot of fun going through that game. And then I have to do stuff like Hannah Montana, which I had to review this week.
Well, which one was it?
The Wii version.
The Wii version?
Yeah, I finally sat down and I had to review it. And you know, it's not that bad of a game. It works for what it does. It's basically a DDR with dress-up options. Yeah, you can like earn new clothes and stuff when you like do your concerts, and you can open new venues and play bigger concerts. And it's got all her licensed music in it, and you use the Wiimote to do dance moves.
Oh my god.
I mean, it's basically DDR for preteen girls.
So, sounds like a game for me, then.
Definitely, if you're a preteen girl and you love Hannah Montana and you have a Wii, you should own it.
Yeah, okay. So, in other words, that's like half the Wii audience?
There you go. That's a terrible joke. But anyway.
I know, it was terrible.
And I also had to play Build-A-Bear for the DS.
Build-A-Bear?
Build-A-Bear Workshop.
Does it have deep customization features?
Extremely deep customization
features. Oh, man.
And that's what I just actually finished up my review last night. It should go live tomorrow, but you basically get to choose what kind of animal you want to create, like you can at the stores. And you can create like a frog or a poodle or a monkey.
A stuffed frog. That's awesome.
You can customize it. And here's the cool thing. I thought this was cool, but this is only cool if you're like 5 and under. You give the animal a heart. You actually give it its own heart.
Uh-huh.
You give it a motto, and then you whisper a secret to it through the DS's microphone.
Really?
Yeah. How cool is that? You can't, like, I wrote in my review, I'm like, I don't care how hard you are when you play this game, you just gotta go, aww.
Whisper a secret.
You whisper a secret in its ear through the DS microphone. And once again, this comes from the Game Factory, and I have to constantly give them props for making really great games for kids.
That is pretty interesting.
They don't make crap for kids. They make really great games for kids.
Well, that's good.
Most companies make crap for kids.
Oh, yeah.
So those are the games I had to play. And then I finally got to sit down and play some games I wanted to play, which I played a lot more Mass Effect, which we talked about. I played a lot of Uncharted this week after I picked it up. I bought a lot of arcade games this week. I spoiled myself since, you know, Christmas season's over.
Mm-hmm.
I bought Undertow, which was really cool.
It's over.
Well, Christmas season game-wise is over.
Which we'll get
into in new releases, but it's all the new releases are out, except for Unreal Tournament. But
From here on out, it's slim pickings.
It's slim pickings till January and February, which is fine by me because, as you'll see, I have a lot of stuff that I have to, that I want to play. So I'm playing through Mass Effect, loving that a lot. Uncharted, loving that a lot. I picked up Pain for the PlayStation Network.
Oh, I saw you playing that.
That game is so much fun.
It is so hilarious.
It's so simple, though. It's so bare bones, but I can't stop playing it. I've been waiting on that game for so long, and now I have it, and then I'm having a ball with it. So.
And by the way, Uncharted and Pain, you can buy. You can pick up for your PlayStation 3.
For your PlayStation 3?
Yeah, because we're not fanboys. Aw.
Speaking of not being a fanboy, I've also been playing some more Mario. I'm loving that. I'm very much plodding through this game.
Through Galaxy.
I need to sit down and just dive into it.
So, which solar system are you at? Are you still at the first solar system?
No, I beat the first one. I've unlocked like two or three more. I'm trying to think if I've actually been to the other ones yet.
Have you ever been to an underwater area yet?
No, I haven't been in an underwater one.
Okay, so, well, the underwater area is, the third solar system.
Mm. The coolest things I've done so far is I did the where you're like in the little, like almost looks like a pill, and it's got like the floors that reverse gravity up
yeah.
and down. That was really cool. I'm trying to think if there's anything. I fought the piranha plant boss, and there was something else I just did. That was pretty cool.
Did you fight the robot?
No, I haven't fought the robot yet. I'm still, like I said, I'm plodding through it.
Okay, so you must be somewhere in the middle of the second solar system.
Yeah, I think I am.
Did you play the stage where you're like walking on like flying saucers?
No, I haven't done that yet either.
Really?
Yeah. See, it sucks because every time I sit down to play this game, I usually don't have a whole lot of time.
Yeah.
So I'm really plodding through it, and I want to play it so bad because I just picked up some HD cables for my Wii too.
And does it make a difference
oh, yeah.
with Mario?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like Zelda. I mean, like, it went from fuzzy to really clear and beautiful. I mean, the colors are what really does it for
oh, yeah.
me when you put it in HD. And I have a copy of Metroid Prime 3. I refused to play it until I got HD cables because it's got so much detail in the environments
yeah.
that I actually refused to play it until I got my HD cables. So I
oh,
should
okay.
be starting to play that sometime soon.
Yeah, thing is, with Mario Galaxy, man, like, once you get into the area with the flying saucers, where you're, like, walking on these flying saucers, and it's, like, an outer space, man, the music in that game starts cranking up, man.
I got my first invincibility star the other day, and the music
oh, really?
Just took me back.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I love that game, and I can't wait to play more of it. I think the reason why I haven't played more of it is because I know once I get really deep into it that I will just sit there and play it. Like, nonstop. So.
It will consume you.
So that's a big one I'm playing. I picked up Assassin's Creed again last night and finally finally was able to get to the next city and start playing through that.
Assassin's Creed!
And I really like the game. I really do because it's a nice change from the norm of playing shooters and
yeah.
all that stuff. So I'm enjoying that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else really big that I played. I mean, I know I played a lot of stuff in the last couple weeks. Time Crisis is another one that I had to play for review.
Oh, yeah. I read your review.
It is basically what I said. I mean, it's the arcade mode is exactly what you'd expect from the old school arcade shooters. But the new first-person mode is actually really cool in the fact that they took a game that normally lasts an hour and they expanded it with so much extra stuff. If you're a fan of light gun games, this is the best one. I mean, it is really good. I haven't played Ghost Squad yet, but I've heard that's really good.
Ghost Squad?
For the Wii.
For the Wii?
I've heard it's really good, but I heard it doesn't have anything extra like Time Crisis does.
So how much is Time Crisis?
Time Crisis was, I believe, 79 or 89 with the gun.
With the gun?
Yeah. And the gun is cool. I just still don't understand why they're not using a different technology, because the setup for it reminds me of the Power Glove.
Ouch.
Because you have, like, these two little things that you have to sit on top of your TV,
uh-huh.
And then you plug them into the USB, and then you plug the gun into the USB port. So it's really kind of weird.
So it takes up two USB ports? It
takes up two USB ports to play it.
So in other words, if you have the new PlayStation 3, the 40 gig with, it comes with Spider-Man 3, and they took out backwards compatibility, you only have two, you'll have both of the...
Both slots taken up.
Yeah.
So you won't be able to use the controller unless it's charged.
Man.
So, I mean, it's not horrible, but it is kind of awkward that you got to do it that way.
Thing is, I do like light gun games. I mean...
Then this is the best one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff here. The first-person mode thing works great. The only complaint that you could see from it is the way the controller's designed, it's not designed for left-handed people. Because the analog sticks are on one side, so...
Well, that doesn't really affect me, then.
Yeah, it's...
So how's the voice acting?
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
But it's arcade terrible, so... And I said that in my review, and I said, you know, the graphics are very old school, but fans of the genre will appreciate what they did, because it is Time Crisis.
I love the terrible voice acting in the Time Crisis games, man.
Oh, it's great, because, like, you'll come around the corner, he's like, "Hey, we need to go kill these terrorists. Let's go." Yeah. It's all dramatic, like a serial on TV back from the 1970s.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I dove into a lot this week. I mean, I've been playing a lot of stuff. Ultimate Mortal Kombat for the DS.
And how was that?
Arcade perfect port with online
really?
Play. I mean, there's a few... DS.
So which Mortal Kombat is it again?
Ultimate Mortal Kombat
3. Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3?
Yep. And it also has the Puzzle Kombat on it. So
nice.
Yeah. Puzzle Kombat's very limited, though, just like it was in Deception. But Ultimate Mortal Kombat is really good, and the fact that you can play both of them wirelessly over the internet is freaking awesome.
That is awesome.
So, I mean, it is the best portable Mortal Kombat to date.
Hmm.
Also played... if I didn't have enough... Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops for the PSP.
Really?
Yeah. It's basically like a director's cut with like a bunch of extra stuff. So it's really nice.
So this is the Portable Ops Plus?
Yeah, it's like $20.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of Metal Gear and the Portable Ops series, you need to buy this. $20, you can't beat it. I also played Contra 4.
And what did you think of that?
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. It is the spiritual successor. I mean, it is the man. It is hard as shit.
It will make you into a man when you play it.
It will make you a man when you play this game, oh, by far.
Especially if you get past anywhere in the game.
Oh, my God. But it's so good. I like the whole dual screen thing.
Yeah.
You can, like, jump up to the second screen and stuff.
I heard some complaints, though, that, you know, the space in between the two screens, you could sometimes get killed in.
Yeah, and that problem's been around since the DS has been around with games like Yoshi's Story and stuff, where you have to jump from one screen to the other, but you get used to it, and you learn to judge for it. I still think it's really cool, though.
Oh, yeah, I played the demo of it, and I really liked it. Granted, the demo didn't have any music, so I was wondering, like, is the music Contra?
You know, it's very Contra, and the music is very much reminiscent of the old school games. It's just... I get so little time to put into some of these games sometimes.
Yeah.
It just kills me, because I sit here and my mind goes off into a blank of all the stuff that I have. I've probably reviewed 4 games this week. Tomorrow... I think there's 4 more reviews going up, and then for the rest of the week, I mean, it's just going to be hammered with all the stuff that's going on. It's a great time to be a gamer, but it's a horrible time to be a reviewer.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of music, man, the music of Mass Effect is awesome.
Oh, I love the music in Mass Effect, like especially like the enemy music, like when there's a bad guy around. Yeah, it's really good.
It reminds me a lot of Blade Runner. The music.
Yeah, it's very Blade Runner.
It's very 80s synthesizer, sci-fi. It reminds me of like a mixture of Blade Runner and intermix that with like a generic sci-fi direct to VHS movie back in the mid-80s. I mean, it's awesome, man. I want to pick it up.
It's very good music.
And the acting is incredible in that game.
The acting is incredible. Every time I talk to Rex, I'm just blown away by the visuals of him.
Yeah.
And the way he talks. I mean, I think it's absolutely... And the aliens with the big eyes, what are they called? Oh,
I can't remember them either, but... The big eyes, the ones with the
real skinny ones.
Yeah, the real skinny.
Yeah, I can't think of what they're called, because you don't have one in your party, so...
Yeah.
But you talk to a lot of them, so... I can't think of what they're called, but those guys are really visually impressive. I like that. And I'm very impressed, like with the old BioWare games, like, even if there was different races in the game, they all looked alike. You notice, like, every Asari that you talk to looks different.
Yeah.
Every Turian that you talk to is unique.
I did notice that.
And that really, like, that's a small thing that really impresses me in that game. Like, I'll talk to an Asari, and in most games you would expect them all to look like your party member, but they don't. And that's awesome.
And the humans, there's no two human characters that look the same.
No, not like in Knights of the Old Republic where, like...
where it's like there's about four or five different humans.
Yeah, and they all just keep repeating. There's little things like that that just blow my mind, especially with how many people there are in that game.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of characters in that game.
So,
I noticed that the enemies that you fight, there's not really a wide variety of enemies.
No, it's mostly Geth and Krogan soldiers, and
yeah.
You fight some different stuff later on, but
the Geth are pretty intimidating.
Especially the ones that run at you.
Yeah,
they come running at you, and I'm like, oh, what am I gonna do?
And I like those the four-legged Geth.
Oh, the big ones.
Yeah, ones.
They remind me of like. Sea lions mixed with a giraffe.
Yeah, those things are pretty intimidating because they can kill you in one hit.
Yeah, they can. It's insane.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I go, like, I run out there like I'm all badass, and then I get shot, and I have to go run and hide.
That's the thing about Mass Effect is you cannot really just run out and just with guns blazing. You can't really do that. You have to kind of assess the situation and think in a strategic manner of how to approach... You have to be careful.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of enemies in the game that, probably a little minor complaint that I have is there's certain enemies in the game that can kill you in one hit.
Yeah.
Because they're just so powerful. And, a lot of times I'd get killed by a very powerful enemy. And so I'm used to, like, saving. Like, every time I go through a little battle, I pretty much save.
You playing on normal or casual?
I'm playing on normal. Mm. Normal, but I got the aiming assist on.
Yeah, I think it's on by default, isn't it?
Yeah, it is on by default. So I'm basically playing it default. But yeah, it's a masterpiece.
Well, I think that pretty much wraps up our fondling this week. And
yeah.
It doesn't seem to be letting up anytime soon. I know there's another game that I'm getting this week that I'm going to be excited to talk about next week before we go on break is Soul Calibur Legends. My review copy's in the mail. It's on its way here.
Sweet.
So I'm looking forward to talking about that. I've been really excited about that. I mean, I hear all these reviews and people talking about it, and they're not all that impressed and all that, but I love the Soul Calibur universe. And lately,
yeah.
Namco has just put out some really good games lately. So I'm really kind of excited about this.
Yeah, the Soul Calibur characters I really like.
So I'm looking forward to that. So hopefully I'll be able to talk about that next week, as well as I'm sure some more stuff that I'm still trying to plod my way through. Oh, I did play more Kane and Lynch, too.
Oh, you played Kane and Lynch.
Yes, which that'll be a good segue into our next discussion.
Oh, speaking of which, there was also one other game I forgot to mention that I played.
What's that?
Virtual Fighter 5.
Oh, that's right. You got your Xbox back now.
Yeah, so. And Virtual Fighter 5 was the first game that I put into my system when I played a couple hours of it. I really liked that game.
No, I really loved that game, and it sucks because I started playing through the quest mode for a little while, and then all this other crap came out, and I kind of pushed it back to the side.
Yeah.
And I know I'll get back to it eventually, and I'm like...
Another game I plan on getting back to is the Naruto Rise of the Ninja.
Oh, yeah. You know, I haven't played that since the first day it came out. I played it one time, and I haven't been able to go back to it.
I played it for about a couple hours, and I really, really like it. It's just with Mass Effect being out, it's kind of like my complete gaming attention has been diverted to Mass Effect.
What kills me is I have about 10 other games besides what I just talked about that I need to go back and play, like Blue Dragon. I need to go back and finish Blue Dragon. I need to go back and play some more of the Orange Box. You know, there's still a lot of achievements.
Same here.
There's still a lot of achievements that I don't have from the Orange Box.
Yeah, Portal, I still have the last two stages in Portal to go through.
I still have Time Shift that I'm only like halfway through. I have Jericho, which I'm only at the beginning of. And then, of course, I have Cane of Lynch. Cane and Lynch, what I was just talking about a minute ago, where I played through, I think, four more stages the other night.
Man, I feel so sorry for you, Zero, having like 50,000 video games to play.
It's terrible because they're all like entertaining me. I'm enjoying all of them, and then I'm sitting here thinking to myself, God, what's the next one coming out? I mean, Unreal Tournament comes out like next week.
I take it you'll be picking that up.
Okay. I'll be on the review for that one.
Yeah, you'll be on the review.
I'll be on the review for that one.
I'm not just picking it up. I'm a reviewer.
I'm going to get that one for free. And that's the beauty of being a reviewer. But then again, then you got to sit around and play all these other games that you normally wouldn't play.
Yeah.
But then you do find some really good ones that you normally wouldn't play.
So, yeah, sometimes you find diamonds amidst the crap.
Exactly. But we'll move on from the fondling. And we'll go into the news, and unfortunately, Mr. Wombat is not here to do our intro.
Yeah, so I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to try this time, because last time that I tried, it was terrible. So I'm not even going to try to do a news announcement, because Wombat, he's not here today, and he will be missed in this episode.
We'll move on to the news. We'll try to run through this relatively quick so we can get to our questions. There's a couple big things that we will touch on for a while, but first up, Warhawk expansion's coming.
In December.
In December.
Sweet!
It's going to have a new aircraft and a few other new additions.
You know, I was on PSN the other day, and one of my... Oh, by the way, I got a couple new friends.
Did they send you a request from N4G?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I had like... A few guys were like friend requests, and I was like, sweet. And one of them was like, one of them's message was Warhawk ? And he wanted to know if I had Warhawk. And I told him that I'll be probably picking it up soon. I probably won't be getting around to it until probably sometime after Christmas.
Yeah.
Cause
I will definitely get back on and play if you guys pick it up, because I love it.
Yeah.
I love Warhawk.
I want to play some multiplayer PSN.
Yeah, Warhawk's going to be good. I'm really looking forward to that. And if you guys pick up Unreal Tournament, I think we should definitely play that. I think that'll be some fun.
Yeah, I mean...
And then when Haze comes out, that's got four-player co-op like Halo.
Really?
So we'll definitely be playing some of that.
When's Haze coming out again?
It's been delayed till next year. So
next year sometime?
I think in, like, spring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we'll definitely have to play that when it comes out, because I'm looking forward to, now that I've learned that it has a four-player co-op, I'm all about some four-player co-op.
You know, I like the commercial for Haze, where he's like, I can't quote it, I don't know why he says, he's like, now I see things differently, you know?
The Nectar commercial?
The Nectar commercial.
I hope it's good, man. I like Free Radical. I like Time Splitters, so...
Yeah,
and
it's
got a really cool dynamic with the whole shooting the nectar and making people go crazy. I don't think it's going to be the end-all, be-all Halo killer that they're trying to put it out to be, nor do I think Killzone's going to be that, but I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah. I actually read an article in Edge magazine.
Well, here we go with Edge magazine.
And one of the guys that was working for the magazine, this was like several issues ago, so this is like going way back, he said something basically... to the point of saying a game cannot be called a so-and-so killer and actually be taken seriously. So it's like, if you're calling your game a Halo killer, you know, I guess the gaming community is not going to take your game that seriously because you're trying to compare yourself to another title. But he said that you'll be more respected if you just go along your own path.
Yeah.
And don't try to be the next, like big franchise killer, you know, like ours is Halo killer, or our RPG is a Final Fantasy killer, or anything like that. I mean, if you go by it that way, you're going to be looked down upon by other developers.
Yeah, you don't want to be a killer. You want to be your own franchise.
Yeah. And that's the way to do it.
Next up on the news, for those of you who were lucky enough to get Rock Band, there were a lot of problems, especially with broken guitars.
I heard about this.
And also with PS3 compatibility with other games. Harmonix is addressing this. They will be putting a patch out, hopefully for the PS3 version. They're also replacing broken guitars, and I believe that I read a snippet this morning that EA is actually going to send a free game to some of the people with broken guitars. Which is really cool.
That is really cool.
Just a side note, the next piece, the Black Friday numbers came out the week of Black Friday. The Wii, in a week, worldwide, sold 1 million systems.
Jesus!
That's worldwide. So, that's a lot of systems. I think it was like 300,000 in America in 1 week. It's just insane how much this thing sold in a week.
Well, the Nintendo Wii is the trend of the Wii is still going really strong.
It is, and if Nintendo can keep demand up over the holiday season, I think it's going to sell ridiculously.
Yeah, and think about it, man. Whenever any game developer makes games for the Wii, dude, they're looking at that humongous established base.
Well, and it sucks because a lot of their games don't do very well at all.
Yeah. Yeah, the game to system attach ratio is very low compared to like 360 or PlayStation 3.
Yeah, this is, people don't buy a lot of software. They buy Wii Play, and I guarantee you, I'll make a prediction for next month's NPD numbers that the Wii Zapper that comes with Zelda.
Yeah,
they'll list that as Zelda Link's Crossbow Training, and it'll be software. It'll be in the top 10. It will be. You watch.
Using hardware to sell software.
Well, using software, I think, because I heard the Wii Zapper kind of sucks.
Yeah, I heard that it was kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, I thought about picking it up, but now I'm thinking still about picking it up just for Link's Crossbow Training for $20.
Yeah, I saw some video of it on the 1UP show, and it looked pretty good.
They said that it's a great $20 game, and you can just throw the Wii Zapper in a drawer somewhere because it plays better without it.
Which is kind of ironic.
It is.
Don't you think?
Well, they said playing Metroid with it was just retarded.
Really?
Yeah, this is not good at all. So.
Ouch.
All right, we'll move on. Deus Ex 3 has been officially announced for next year.
Woohoo!
So, for all those Deus Ex fans that are still around.
Yeah, all 7 or 8 of you.
Yeah. That's exciting, though, because it's a good franchise.
It is a good franchise, and I'll be excited to see where they take it. Because of games like BioShock and Mass Effect that has been released this year. And you know those guys are taking notes of how to approach their game. And they're probably thinking to themselves, okay, how can we go the next step in Deus Ex? And I'm really excited, man. Tell you the truth, I didn't even hear about this news. But I'm really excited about it now. So, yeah, man, it's all coming together. I mean, I think in this generation, we're seeing the start of it, and I think the next generation, we're going to see a more solidified version of, like, the cinematic experience that you're actually playing instead of just watching. Like, you know, cut scenes in the future are going to be a thing of the past, and it's going to be dynamic cut scenes where you actually control the action, control the storyline, you know, control how characters react, their emotional state, what they say, and what they do in real time in the middle of a scene.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's just amazing.
Well, I always did like the Deus Ex series, so I'll be excited to see what they do with this one, and I'll probably end up checking it out. Next up, just in case you thought, because of Xbox Originals, that Microsoft had given up on backwards compatibility, it's not the case. They just released another update.
Excellent.
With 98, I believe, new titles.
Whoa.
So it's a pretty substantial list.
Is Beyond Good and Evil on
No,
there?
Beyond Good and Evil is not on here. But ESPN NFL 2K5, which I have been complaining about for months, is on here.
Yeah, you mentioned that about 2 episodes ago.
I am very excited about that. Other than that, I mean, there's a few notable. Armed and Dangerous is a really cool one to have on here. Blinks is finally backwards compatible. Breakdown, That's a big one for people that they've been waiting on. Let's see. Scrolling down through this. Dungeons and Dragon Heroes. Fight Night Round 3. Forgotten Realms. Freedom Fighters.
Oh, snap.
Has been brought back. It was on it originally. It didn't work right. So hopefully it works good now. The Godzilla games are on here. Indiana Jones. Hunter the Reckoning. A bunch of sports games again. Including all the MVP baseballs through 03 through 05. The NFL 2K2, 2K3, a couple of NHL games, Playboy the Mansion is on here, as well as the Guy game. Go figure that out.
Okay.
Run Like Hell is on here, Rocky. I mean, it's a really good list, so it's nice to see that they're still supporting
the Tecmo Classic Arcade.
Yep, that's on there now. So there's quite a few things on here. The Bard's Tale, which is really good.
Lord of the Rings, The Third Age.
Turok Evolution, if you really wanted to play that still.
Yeah, if you want to make your eyes bleed.
It is there. So it's nice to see that they're still doing the backwards compatibility.
Oh, yeah, it's quite nice for the 360 player.
Next up on the list, we got new BioShock downloadable content coming next week.
What?
Yeah, along with a patch for the game.
What was it fix?
I don't know. Some of the glitches, I guess, that have been in the game. So they're going to fix that. The downloadable content, we don't know what it is, but it will be this week. Xbox Live is going to light up this week, especially with that. And the last thing we'll talk about here in a little bit, the fall update. Monster Madness finally got its patch. I've been waiting on this for months. I'm just like the two worlds people. I've been waiting on this too long. But they fixed a lot of the achievement glitches. They nerfed the difficulty, which some people were upset about, but I'm very happy because the game used to be damn near impossible for me.
Yeah.
But they nerfed the difficulty. They fixed a lot of the save problems. They fixed a lot of the item pickup problems. They fixed quite a bit of it. So it's a really nice patch. You can check out the details online, but it's definitely a nice patch. And it finally makes the game what I wanted it to be, which right now you can pick it up for like $30. So it's definitely worth picking up now with this patch. In other news relating to South Peak Interactive, Two Worlds.
If only Wombat was here.
If only Wombat was here. Two Worlds is officially getting an expansion.
An expansion for Two Worlds?
An expansion for Two Worlds. Can you say Game of the Year 2008?
Oh, snap! 2008.
When Wombat listens to this, he will appreciate that. So,
jeez.
There's an expansion coming for Two Worlds in 2008.
It might as well be called Three Worlds, man. Oh, yeah.
Three Worlds. All right, now we're going to talk a little bit about the fall update, which will go live Tuesday. Can you believe it's here? Tuesday.
Da, da, da.
Tuesday. So tomorrow, in technicality, if you're listening to this.
It's today.
We have, first up, everybody knows about Xbox Originals. Basically, you'll be able to download old Xbox games, including Crash Bandicoot, Crimson Skies, Halo, Fable, Fusion Frenzy, Psychonauts.
Oh, yeah.
For 1,200 points.
Fan favorites.
This would have been a great idea had you added frickin' achievements to them.
Yeah, that's kind of sucky.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why they didn't, but this isn't going to be as big as it could have been. I mean, you don't even have to give it the full 1,000 points. Give it like 500 points.
Yeah, 500 points would be good because
500 points for an old Xbox game.
And the thing is, I could kind of see where they didn't want to go through the trouble of putting achievements attached to certain actions in the games. But you could just simplify it, man. Just have the 500 points unlock when you beat the game.
You could do that, or you could even do it arcade style and give you 200 points. Which, speaking of achievements, did you notice that Drake has them? Uncharted has them?
Yeah.
And they're freaking awesome. I love them.
Yeah.
And so does Payne. Payne has them, too.
The achievements are like...
I am an achievement whore.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really think that we're going to see Sony introduce the achievement system soon. Because Payne has them, and so does Uncharted. Uncharted has 1,000 points, too.
That's interesting.
And they're very similar to Xbox achievements, like 5 headshots, 50 kills with this weapon, and there's a bunch of hidden ones. They call them medals in Uncharted, but an achievement system coming to the PlayStation 3. We've been rumoring about that for like a year now.
Yeah, it's been a long time
coming. It's coming. Also with the fall update, we get a new thing called Xbox Live Arcade Hits. Basically what this is going to be is a reduced price arcade games.
Excellent.
So you'll be able to get some of those old arcade games now for a little cheaper. The first line includes Bankshot Billiards and Lumines Live for 800 points, which is a drop from 1,200. So it's $5 off.
Which, in my opinion,
is what they should have been when they came out.
Yeah. Even though I did get Lumines Live, and I did get there's been a couple expansions that were free that I downloaded, and those are really cool, man. They're real visual.
The next titles dropped to 400 points are Marble Blast Ultra, which is a very good game.
Oh yeah.
Small Arms, which is a very good game, and Zuma Deluxe for the puzzle fanatic inside of
Zuma
all of us.
Zuma Deluxe.
Those are all 400 points. And I'm sure they'll introduce new ones. It's nice to see that they're actually reducing prices on some of these games,
yeah.
Older games. So, good time to pick up some titles if you hadn't had them already. Because Small Arms and Marble Blast for $5 a piece, that's ridiculously good.
Can't beat that.
Also, run over some more features here. Inside Xbox. And this is a lot like PlayStation Network's new feature where it has the little news thing that shows up.
Yeah.
This is this will basically allow you to get news and videos streaming directly to your Xbox. So you'll be able to watch like Major Nelson's Minute. So you can watch Major Nelson wrap up the week's Xbox news in 1 minute. Something like that.
Major Nelson?
Major Nelson's going to be on my Xbox now.
That's...
Larry Herb.
That's cool.
Is he going to scare you? Boot up your Xbox, Larry Herb's like, "Hey, Gamma's coming, it's Larry Herb, Major Nelson here."
And then I jump in the air.
Oh my God, there's a crazy guy on my Xbox. Another thing is the enhanced profile. You'll be able to put like a 1,000-word like description of yourself. You'll also be able to put in exactly where you're from, like state and city and all kinds of stuff.
Street number?
No, you can't put your street number in there. Of course, you don't have to fill out any of this. This is just an expand if you want people to see it.
They should have, like, a personals.
Yeah, but this will only be visible by friends. So it's not like everybody can just go online and say, "Hey, Gamescom's from Ohio. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
In this city. Holy crap.
I live in the neighboring city. You want to hang out?"
The next up is the feature I have to continue to ask, who wanted this? The friends of the friends list. You're now able to browse your friends' friends list.
You build a browse your friends' friends list?
Yeah, so say like I log on and select you, I can view all of your friends.
I don't know if I like that or not.
Well, you can block it if you don't want people to do it. And you can block the ability for people to allow to share you. So, but who asked for this? Who really wanted this feature? It's like, ooh, let me look at Gambus Khan's friends so I can go see if I can make some more friends.
I don't know. It sounds like more of a business decision where, like, you'll probably be getting, like, spam and stuff like that from, like, companies saying, "Hey, you're an Xbox player. Would you like to have a new headset? We got them for sale. We'll be sending you and all of your friends this advertisement."
Well, that's one thing Xbox Live hasn't done is spammed me yet. So,
but you know something, the friends list within friends list sounds like they could be slowly establishing this type.
I haven't decided
feature.
If I'm going to block it or not yet. I don't know if I really care that anybody sees my friends list, but at the same time, I don't know if anybody on my friends list cares if somebody sees my friends list. So, I just it's something I'm never going to use, and I wonder why they focus so much attention to implement it.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. I mean, why focus so much attention when there's other things that people are actually probably asking for?
Oh, I don't know, like party chat, clans.
Yeah, exactly.
So, the clans and the party chat, that's what they really need to focus on. They need to get away from this whole, "Oh, we're going to show you this new feature that you don't give two shits about, but it was really cool in the meetings."
It's like really cool, and then in the meetings where all the businessmen are like, "Whoa, that's very cool. We have business opportunities with this feature."
Yeah, whatever. Moving on. Enhanced parental controls. You now have what is called a family timer. This basically allows you to limit your children's playtime. You can set, like, a password, and then you can say they're allowed to play for 2 hours. They're allowed to play for an hour. They're allowed to play for 30 minutes.
You know something? It's nice to see that Microsoft cares about your children.
Yes, because we don't want them playing Halo online with all those crazy other people for 40 hours a week.
No, just 20.
Just 20. Got to limit them to 20.
Yeah.
So, it is a cool feature. It is nice to have. I can't really knock it too much. It's not something I'm going to use. So, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
New video features. This is probably my most exciting thing.
Woo!
We have, after Microsoft claimed and claimed and claimed and claimed it would never happen, we're now going to get DivX support. API files are now playable through Xbox Kinect.
Sweet.
So, we will be able to see the AVI videos, so all of your pirated TV shows and your pirated movies and your porn and all that stuff, you can now watch with the DivX AVI codec format.
Be like, I wonder what this file is. And you start watching it, and it's like, and you're like, oh my god, how'd that get there?
Because if anybody's ever downloaded a video off the web, you know that 90% of them come in the AVI format. So it's been a pain in the ass to watch them through your Media Kinect. So, moving on, some more smaller things. Some new upgrades to the dashboard, including a restructuring of the marketplace now. They will now be listing things from, like, games. Your games blade will now list all of your games, like your arcade thing does. But it will just be all your games now. All your played games will be in a giant list that you can look and see what you've played, how many achievements you have, basically all that kind of stuff. On the front page of the Xbox, it's changed. Now your friends list also contains your messages. So, and above that, it's where you go to the inside Xbox or whatever, where you can watch the video features.
Yeah.
The video marketplace been restructured a little bit. It's a lot more, like, the feature downloads now looks almost like the cross-media bar. So you can surf through, like, new items, free items, which is really cool. You can surf through all the free items, which I think that's really cool. There's a lot of new little things and the list of all the different updates. I will probably bore the piss out of anybody that tries to read it, as you can see as I scroll down through it.
Oh, man, there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of little things that you're probably not going to notice, but the change to the dashboard and the media center and all that stuff you will notice. But the fact that there's no clan support and no party chat still frustrates me to no end.
But you can view your friends of your friends.
Yes, because I needed that feature.
Yeah.
I did.
Because we all need more friends.
Yeah, I need more friends that I don't play games with.
Yeah, and on top of that, we need to have the business partners of Microsoft to be able to spam us continuously and relentlessly.
Hey, they can spam me all day long as they give me free stuff, which I'm still waiting on Microsoft to send me my free 500 Microsoft points. I'm just throwing that out there if they're listening. You need to send me my free 500 points for being a member since day one. That's what I was told.
Really?
Yeah. If you were a member since day one, because Xbox Live is 5 now, the birthday party, that you were supposed to get 500.
Xbox Live is 5.
You were supposed to get free 500 Microsoft points, and I filled out my little form. I sent it in. I'm waiting on my response. So, well, as long as they keep giving me free stuff, I'm cool.
I hope you get it then.
I do too. We got one rumor. Hopefully it comes true. Devil May Cry 4 demo to hit PlayStation Network and Xbox Live by the end of the year.
Sweet!
So, hopefully that's true.
I wonder who you'll get to play, Dante or Nero?
I don't know. Do you really care? I mean,
no.
Are they really that different?
They both look the same.
We'll skip over the whole big GameSpot issue till the end because somebody does ask it and ask a question.
Oh, okay.
So we'll cover it then. So we're going to jump into the reader questions, and we have to apologize because one of the readers that we keep answering questions from, we kept calling him Atlas.
Uh-huh.
And this is because I'm dyslexic. His name's actually Altis.
Altis.
It's A-L-T-I-S. We've been calling him Atlas as an A-T-L-I-S because we're dyslexic.
Well, we got BioShock on the brain.
Alrighty. This first question is mostly going to go to you.
Okay. Hit me. Hit me with it.
Comes from DJ Rich 2000. He has one post, and this is it. So pay attention.
Uh-oh.
He wants to know, your team's enthusiasm over their recent acquisitions of PS3 has inspired me to get one this year. You inspire people, Gambus Khan.
Whoa.
Uncharted sounds like a must-get, but if you had to pick one other title to purchase this holiday season, which one would you grab? Would it be better to hold out into the new year and get Haze or another early arrival in 2008?
Hmm. So what other PlayStation 3 game should he purchase?
He wants to know what other PlayStation 3 game you would purchase this year.
Well, I would purchase?
Yeah.
Well, I came close to purchasing Eye of Judgment.
Of course you did.
Yeah, because I'm a nerd and a geek. And I actually own some of the cards already. So
you think Eye of Judgment's a good one?
It's a pretty innovative idea, you know, combining the collectible card game idea with a video game. I saw it in play, and it looked really sweet. And besides that, Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank's a very good suggestion.
Yeah, which I asked Santa Claus to get that for me for this Christmas. Because I still believe in Santa Claus because he's real, man.
He's real.
Me and him, we were hanging out last year. It was crazy. It was crazy, man.
You were still up?
Yeah.
When you got there?
Dude.
Like, what'd you bring me? What'd you bring me, fat man?
Dude, man, he brought over beer, man.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could drink and slay.
Evidently, he was taking a break. And he's got he controls, you know, time, space, continuum. So, I mean, if he wanted to, he could just freeze time until he sobered up and then continued. So,
I guess so. I wish I had that kind of time. I'd freeze time and write all my reviews and do all my work at work.
Oh,
and then
that
I'd
would be awesome.
Spend the rest of the day playing video games, you know.
Yeah, but only Santa Claus can freeze time.
That fat bastard.
Yeah, but yeah, Ratchet and Clank, Future, Tools of Destruction, that's going to be a game to get because it's fantastic.
I'd say, yeah, don't wait until next year to buy another game. Get a system, get Uncharted, get Ratchet, get Eye of Judgment, pick up Heavenly Sword, Motorstorm.
Oh, yeah,
War
Heavenly
Hawk.
Sword.
I mean,
Warhawk.
It's sad I can sit here and rattle down titles now, but I can.
Yeah, and we don't have to.
If you don't have a 360, my God.
Yeah.
There's plenty out there to play.
Yeah, no kidding. This year's been crazy for gaming.
It's been good for you, bad for your wallet.
Oh, yeah.
He has a second part to his question. He said, additionally, if I could care less about backwards compatibility, is there any reason not to go for the cheaper 40 gig over the 80 gig? That really depends on whether or not you plan on downloading a whole lot.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I got the 80 gig.
I got 60.
You got the 60?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, get this. I now have, like, 58 gigs left.
But you download a lot of videos, though, don't you?
I download a lot of movie trailers and documentaries. I downloaded all the documentaries on Heavenly Sword. And I was about ready to say it. I don't want to get on the crap list. But I have to say, what's up with you, Sony? Dude, get this. A 600 megabyte video download, and the video only lasts 4.5 minutes.
That's some high definition visuals.
And it's a documentary about the making of a game. Why do I need that in like 1080Z? You know what I'm saying? It's like, why do I need that in like super duper high def quality? I mean, there's no point in having a documentary, you know, looking that good.
I don't know.
It just boggles the imagination. And also downloaded the Heavenly Sword anime series, which is okay. I mean, it's kind of cool that you get the backstory of the game. But at the same time, I mean, you could have really done better with it. I mean, it reminded me of, like, Samurai Jack from, like, the Cartoon Network, except it wasn't as good as Samurai Jack, but it was still pretty good.
So you think you should go with 80 over 40? I think for future-proof.
Yeah, for future-proof, definitely, and, like...
Not to mention you get a free game.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get Spider-Man 3, which, that's debatable whether or not that's worth it anyway.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the movie I thought was terrible. You loved it, so it's going to be...
I loved it, you hated it,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, it's a love-or-hate movie, really.
It is. It really is.
So, if you'd rather have the movie than the game, and you don't plan on doing a lot of downloading, go for 40, but if you plan on doing a lot of downloading and you want a second game, get the MotorStorm bundle. Because MotorStorm is a phenomenal game.
Oh, yeah. I played a little bit of that when I first got the system. That's one of those games I still have to go back and play. I'll go back and play it sometime in the future. But, yeah, MotorStorm is really good. With the PlayStation, PlayStation 3, the more memory you have, the better. I mean, I think that's even... It's even more of a subject matter than the Xbox 360. Because I've noticed that, like, you know, video files and movie trailers, you know, they don't take up nearly as much space as they do on the PlayStation. Because, you know, the PlayStation version of those, of like a video or a movie trailer file is a lot bigger because it uses a 1080p resolution quality.
Well, even if you were buying an Xbox at this point, I would tell you that you should get the 120 gig system.
Yeah.
Just because of arcade games and downloadable content and all that stuff. So I always say bigger is better when it comes to hard drives.
Oh, yeah. Hard drives, man.
And not to mention with the PlayStation 3, you can install games onto the hard drive. And that takes up quite a bit of space sometimes.
Yeah.
To improve loading times. So I would say go with the 80 gig. You get a free game. It's $100 more. It's definitely worth it.
Oh,
plus,
yeah.
It's not gimped like the 40 gig is with the stuff taken out of it, like the USB ports and stuff. So
yeah, that's a really terrible thing in a way because, I mean, even though it's $100 cheaper, when you read all the things that they took out like $250 worth of stuff.
And I still think that it's crappy that Sony is pulling out backwards compatibility.
We've
ripped on Microsoft for 2 years now about their crappy backwards compatibility. At least they're making an effort to fix it. It's still not perfect, and it never will be, and they will never stop getting crap from us. But completely removing it and making it somewhat software-based is... I don't like that.
Thing is, in the past couple of months, you know... Because of my 360 dying on me, and then just recently my network adapter dying on me, you know, I really don't like any of the system hardware manufacturers. You know, it's like Sony is screwing the backwards compatibility market. They're like, screw you, we don't care if you could play PS2 games, you know. And then you got Microsoft with their failed
screw
hardware.
Screw you, we don't care if you can play any games.
Pretty much. And the thing is with Microsoft, it's like everything in Microsoft seems to be destined to eventually break.
Your network adapter is a first for me. I've never heard that.
Yeah, I mean, it was right when I got my new system. And
I wonder if you haven't set your wireless network up on your Xbox. Maybe it got reset. That's possible. Because the red light means you're getting power. So,
yeah, but red light also means that something's wrong with the hardware.
No, it just means that it's not receiving a wireless signal. Because
yeah.
Mine goes red sometimes. So, but we'll look more into that.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, he also says the show's great.
Oh, thank you. We put a lot of hard work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. I'm like, yeah.
All righty,
thank you.
Next question comes from Kalupu.
That's an awesome name.
He has two questions. He wants to know, what do you guys think of GameStop EB Games trade-in values? Is it just unjust that their trade-in price sucks? $50 retail, $20 trade-in within 1 or 2 weeks of the game release.
You know, that really does suck.
It does suck, and...
It sucks bad.
It sucks bad. It's more like $60 now with a $25 trade-in. Because that's about the general...
And you know what burns my biscuits? Dude, get this. Like PS3 used titles, like Heavenly Sword. I was interested in Heavenly Sword. I was like, whoa, I want to get Heavenly Sword. That's good. That looks like a really good game. Used copy, $55. It's only $5 cheaper.
That's the thing that burns my ass about used trade-ins is they give you $20, $25, $30 at the max for the game, and they sell it for $55. So there's really no incentive unless you have one of those discount cards or whatever to buy the game used. For me, there's not. $5 off for a used game, it's not for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no kidding.
But if I have the card and I can get the game $10 cheaper, that makes it a little more justifiable.
Yeah.
As long as the game works. And I think that upsets me more than the trade-in price because, you know, I trade in games sometimes, and if it's worth $25, $30, that's fine. But I'm not going to go out and buy it.
Yeah, it's like they give you crap money back for trading in, but then they turn around and sell it for almost new retail price.
And what burns me is the value of the game drops so fast, but the price of it used doesn't drop quite as fast.
Yeah.
Like, if I traded in Jericho now, I might get $15 for it, but I bet it's still $54.99.
I'm sorry, but EB, EB kind of sucks.
Well, when it comes to trade-ins, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, we both have a good friend who works for EB.
I used to work at EB. I know what it was like.
Yeah, I actually worked at EB for a very short time. I worked for about 2 days. I was at the Final Fantasy XII midnight opening. I was the door greeter at an EB store. And that was like the first day that I was on the job. And the second day that I was on the job was like, I think Castlevania Portrait of Ruin came out.
And you like that old man at Walmart.
The old man at Walmart?
The door greeter?
Yeah, I was the door greeter for the Final Fantasy XII release.
The midnight launch where 10 people showed up?
Not even 10, it was like 7 people showed up. So that job that night was really easy.
I can imagine.
It was like, hey, how's it going? Get your Final Fantasy XII right here, this way. That's where the register is. Point to the register. And that was like the whole shift right there.
Hard work.
Yeah.
All right, his second question is, do you think a Diablo MMO will come out? And if it did, will you get a new PC to play it if your PC can't run it? Well, the second part is easy for me to answer because I don't play MMOs. And I hate them. So, no, I wouldn't buy a new PC to play it. Whether or not one will come out, after the success of WoW, maybe.
I got a question.
Well, okay, who are you asking?
Kalupu.
Okay.
Or Kalupu.
Kalupu?
Kalupo or Kalupu. Yeah, cool name, by the way.
Kulpu.
Kupu. My question is this. Do we really need another MMO? Do we need specifically another MMO that will probably be subscription-based? And considering that the original Diablo team wouldn't be working on it because, like, half the Diablo team went to make Guild Wars, which is a masterpiece, by the way, and it's free. You should pick that up. That should be Diablo 3 right there.
When's your check coming from them?
Next week. But, yeah, if you're interested in Diablo, some of the makers of Diablo 2 went on to make Guild Wars, so you should check that out. And the other, like, section of the team that made Diablo 2 went on to make Hellgate London, which I heard is okay. I heard it's got some problems, but I heard that it's still pretty good. But it's subscription-based, so you have to pay to play on that one. But other than that, those would be the two MMOs that I would probably look forward to if I was really in need of an MMO. I'd just go with Guild Wars because it's very similar to Diablo in the way it plays. And it's free.
And free is always good.
Free is fantastic. And then you got all these countless free downloadable MMOs on the internet. Like, I think one's called Repels. And there's a couple other ones. I think that one of them's called Duels. I heard somebody playing one called Duels. And
your MMO talk is
staggering.
It's just, I think I feel like I just ate a big turkey.
A turkey?
That makes me sleep.
That makes you sleep. But yeah, I mean, think about it. I mean, if you really want a new Diablo game, you got to keep in mind that it's not going to be the same people behind it, and that's part of the reason why a game is good. is because the people that make a game are passionate about what they're making, and when you take them out of the equation, all you have is a corporate money maker that will probably end up feeling like it's soulless.
Soulless.
Yeah, a soulless game. So I think there's plenty of MMOs out there already. You just gotta find one that suits your taste.
All right, sleeping on. I mean, moving on.
Sleeping on.
Next question comes from Zero Function.
Zero Function. I always love that name, and I love his pick. He's a Geth.
He's a Geth.
Yeah,
and he's also moderator of the year.
Well, congratulations.
He has a tech question more than anything. He says, do you guys have an iPod or a Zune? And if so, which one do you have?
Well, do you have an MP3?
I have an iPod Shuffle. I think yeah. I've used it maybe 10 times in the year and a half I've had it.
Well, I got an iPod video, 30 gig, and I pretty much take it almost everywhere I go.
Yeah, you and those headphones crack me up every time.
Yeah, I need to buy a new pair of headphones.
You look like you're in Jet Set Radio all the time.
Yeah, when I'm like at the mall.
You should get some rollerblades and graffiti paint.
I should. That'd be really...
And some really big 70s sunglasses.
That'd be awesome.
I would pay money for that.
But, yeah, I got the iPod video, and I had not messed with the Zune, but... I do have a friend who has one, and I have to say, it's got a really good picture.
Well, he says he has an 80 gig Zune, and he's yeah. loving it more than he ever could have loved his iPod.
Yeah, the Zune, from what I understand, is more versatile.
It's because it's like Windows.
Yeah, it's like Windows. You can like import a lot more file types into the Zune, whereas with the iPod, the Apple iPod, usually you're either downloading stuff from iTunes or you're using your already pre-existing CD collection, which when you copy it into your iPod, it goes through iTunes and actually lists all the track names and everything, which is pretty cool.
Just like the CD database.
Yeah. It's user-friendly. I like iPod because you don't really have to be as much of a tech person, whereas Zune, you have to be a little bit more tech-savvy because of its high versatileness. And also with iPod, I really like iTunes. I mean, iTunes is awesome because I can just sit there and sample music all day long. I can just... click on an album and then click on a track and listen to like a 30-second segment of each song. And another thing I love about iTunes is going into the podcast section where there's like hundreds of different podcasts and you just click on them and they automatically download. And you could listen to podcasts all day, and there's like so much stuff to look forward to. And so with me, I'm more of an iPod person because of the convenience that iTunes offers. But if I was more tech savvy and more versatile with, you know, knowing different other ways to download what I want to listen or watch, I would go with the Zune.
That's his third question, is which one would you pick if you were to buy one? So if you were to buy one now, would you stick with the iPod?
Yeah, I would stick with the iPod, but like I said, if I was more tech savvy or more, more into downloading different types of files, I would go with the Zune because I honestly thought the Zune, the video quality was a lot better than the iPod. It's got a slightly larger screen, and I immediately noticed a difference. The image looked like it came out of the screen. I mean, it was like really good.
See, if I were to buy one right now, I'd probably buy a Zune.
Yeah,
I'd probably get me an 80 gig Zune, so I could have all my podcasts and my music on it. Listen to it.
Zune's a lot more versatile, but iPod is more user friendly if you're not as tech savvy. So it depends on who you are.
All right, moving on. Are you joshing? And as always, every week he has just a bunch of stuff going on. First question is, why don't we see you guys in the forums very much? Why is ZT the only one who cares about us? That's more directed at you. Apparently, I care.
Apparently, you care, huh?
I'm in the forums all the time.
Well, thing is, I care.
You care?
Yeah, I read the forums all the time.
But you don't ever talk. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm shy.
You don't sound shy on this podcast.
Yeah, I know.
You're speaking to thousands of people every week.
I thought we was only speaking to five people.
Five? That's the myth. That's the urban legend.
Really?
There's really a lot more. You know, just ruined his attitude.
You know, now I'm starting to feel real shy now. I mean, come on, man. But
everybody's requesting your presence in the forums.
I will make an effort.
Do you even have your own little tag that I put up there for you? It says podcast staff. It looks cool when you post. You're like a big man on campus.
I'll be posting. I'll be posting. But yeah, I read the forums all the time.
All right. His next question is: now that you all have PS3s, he wants to hear your impressions between 360 arcade games and PlayStation Network games like Flow, Blast Factor, and Everyday Shooter, Super Stardust,
and so on,
and so on. Comparison between Xbox Live and Arcade and PlayStation Network has really slimmed down a little bit lately. I think PlayStation Network's getting a lot of original games, which I think is very cool. Like, when it first started, they were getting a lot of the same stuff, like Joust and, you know, the old arcade games, and they've gotten away from that, and they've done more. It seems like the Geometry Wars clone, like, parade hit that system for a little while.
The parade.
But with recent releases, like a lot like Pain, I think they're really good, and I think they're really fun. The biggest difference between the two that pisses me off about PlayStation Network, no demos. There's like no demos for anything. Like, I can't play a demo for Calling All Cars. I bought Pain blindly because I knew that I would enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But I would be more apt to buy some of these games if they had demos.
Yeah.
Like, give me a demo of Everyday Shooter. Give me a demo of Super Stardust. Give me a demo of Calling All Cars, for Christ's sakes.
Super Stardust is really good. I saw someone play that at a store.
I mean, Xbox Live Arcade, every game has a demo.
Yeah.
I mean, and every game on PlayStation Network should have a demo, and that's really the biggest differentiator between the two.
And on top of that, the Microsoft Marketplace arcade games, they don't seem to be consistent quality titles.
No, it's every now and then. Like, yeah. This week's was Asteroids. Yeah.
So is it Asteroids or is it Ass-droids?
Ass-droids? Well, I forgot how long it had been since I played Asteroids. I started playing it. I'm like, wow, this game really blows.
Jeez.
I just do not like Asteroids.
So in other words, it's the second name.
Yeah, I don't like Asteroids. I never have. I just don't get into that game. It's like, I don't know. It feels like a retarded Geometry Wars.
A retarded Geometry Wars?
Where you just shoot rocks.
Excellent. But the thing is, with PSN Network, it seems like they don't release as many games at all. It's like you might get a new game every once in a while. But I have noticed that whenever you do get games for PSN, the downloadable arcade games, they have a consistent high quality about them.
They feel a lot more high quality sometimes. Like, Pain feels really high quality. And Calling All Cars, I've heard, is excellent. I almost picked it up over the holiday because it was on sale for $5, but I just forgot.
Yeah.
Super Stardust is really high quality. Everyday Shooter is really innovative and cool. I'm looking forward to them doing some different stuff. Like, there has been some crap. Like, Pixel Junk Racers.
Yeah.
That was crap.
I heard that wasn't that good.
But I'd like to see them do more stuff. I'd like to see them stay on the same route that they're on with titles like Pain and Everyday Shooter. And I think those are really cool.
Oh, yeah.
His next question is, anyone playing Fear Files? Yeah, that's another one that's on my queue. I played it for about 2 hours. It's pretty scary.
Scary as in boo!
Yeah, but don't play that game unless you beat Fear. Seriously, because you ruined the ending.
I still need to go through that.
Next up, he wants to talk more about Rock Band. He says he thinks we were a little too brief on our Rock Band experience. He says, the world wants to know how the drums and microphone parts are being presented, and the depth and quality and part they play in the game, and the quality of set accessories. So far, the only problem I have with the drums is the rolls don't work. When you do a drum roll,
yeah,
like you have to hit it really lightly to get them to register. Like if you hit it hard, it like skips them.
Hmm.
And I get frustrated when I'm playing because I'm trying to do rolls. I'm like, I can't tell myself to hit it lightly while I'm in the middle of like, crazy drumming.
Yeah, when you're in where you're in the heat of drumming.
Yeah, I can't tell myself like, hold on. I can't do that. I've read online that you can take it apart and kind of tweak it and fix it a little bit, and I may look into that because it's getting. And that's another thing about the drums is the difficulty between medium and hard is insane. Like, some songs are cake on hard. Like, if you played on medium, you get used to it, you can jump into hard, and it's just a little more challenging. And then you get to songs like Iron Maiden's Run to the Hills, where I fail within the first 30 seconds of that song on hard. I can beat it on medium, but on hard, that song just whoops my ass. And it's mostly because of the rolls. I can't do the rolls. Because it's a weird thing.
That does sound kind of like a problem.
It is a problem because, you know, we're playing the band World Tour. You get so far into it, and it tells you you can't make any more fans on medium. So you have to go to hard. And then you go to hard, and you start failing songs. And guess what you do when you fail songs? You lose fans.
Jeez.
So, kid, I'm very frustrated with Rock Band, but I still love playing it. It's one of those games that I love to hate.
Love to hate.
And I hate to love it because I love playing it. But every time I play it, I get mad at it. I get mad at Rock Band and I curse it. But I still love playing it.
Interesting.
So
sounds like a game to pick up just to have a an emotional, dysfunctional gaming experience.
It is. As far as the accessories go, the drums work fine. I've never had any problem out of them. The guitar, I haven't had a problem out of yet, but I've heard a lot of people have problems with it.
Yeah.
Of course, most of the time we use the Explorer, the Guitar Hero 2 Explorer. So
yeah, that's a good one.
As far as the vocals go, I've never played any higher than medium, but I did a really good rendition of Spoon Man, where I changed the words.
Really?
Yeah.
And was your version better?
I think it was dirtier.
Knowing you, you're probably right.
I think it was much dirtier. Well, I mean, at the end of the song, he keeps going, what is it, like, come together with your hand. He just keeps saying that. And I'm like, this song's a lot about coming. There's a lot of coming going on in this song. So I started changing the words.
Coming and going, right?
Coming and going.
Yeah.
He also says that we should record one of our Rock Band sessions, which you did with your cell phone when we were playing that one night.
Yeah, for about 30 seconds.
And he wants us to put it on the exit of the podcast. But someone from the show has to be on vocals. I vote for you.
I'm a terrible singer, man. I'm so bad.
That's why it would be so good.
I would have to improvise. I couldn't actually seriously be singing.
You passed like a virgin on Karaoke Revolution.
Yeah, because I was singing like a girl.
Yeah, but it was awesome.
Yeah, I was singing like a girl. And I found that when
I think
did
we
that,
should do Tom Sawyer with you singing.
Oh my God!
That's what I think. I think we should do Tom Sawyer with you singing.
So I could be like Kitty Lee,
Tom Sawyer. Because have you heard Tom Sawyer in Rock Band yet?
No,
it's not the original.
Oh my God!
So somebody actually had to karaoke some Kitty Lee.
Is it funny?
It's funny.
Oh geez!
It's like you can't impersonate Kitty Lee.
No, you can't.
You just can't.
It's just like the lead singer of Queen. You can't impersonate Freddie Mercury.
I hope there's a lot of things about Freddie Mercury that you will never want to impersonate. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, a few years ago, I had the Freddie Mercury mustache going on.
Yeah. I hope that's the only Freddie Mercury thing you had going on.
And the leather pants.
Oh!
I'm just kidding.
No, he's not. He also wants to know if it's possible for people on the forums to use a microphone to ask questions. Yeah, I mean, if you guys want to send this, like, you'd have to send it like an MP3 format.
Yeah.
If you send it in an MP3 format, we could actually splice it into the podcast and let you ask the question first, and then we could answer it. So, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah, I mean, that would be awesome.
That's entirely possible. All right, two more questions to go. The first one up is once again to you. It's supposed to be to Wombat and you, but, you know.
Yeah, Wombat.
They said it's from Lil Bush.
Lil Bush.
Lil Bush says, thanks for the ad on PSN. So, you guys must have added him.
Yeah.
Since you have PS3s now, what do you think of the system as a whole, and what are your personal pros and cons of the system? Do you see yourself playing it as much as the as much as the 360 a year from now?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. Metal Gear Solid is going to be excellent. It's going to be freaking awesome. And I'm sure there's going to be some other games that are going to be freaking awesome. I think in a year from now, the PlayStation 3 library will probably be approaching the overall quality and variety of the 360. So perhaps, yeah, in a year from now, I might be playing PS3 just as much as the 360. And especially in 2009, when Final Fantasy 13 finally comes out. You see, when I read these forums, because I read these forums, I do, there's a lot of times where people say, oh yeah, PS3's going to own in 2008 when Final Fantasy 13 comes out. It's not coming out in 2008. It's coming out in 2009.
Same year as Resident Evil.
Yeah, so it's like, unless you want to play the game in Japanese and import the Japanese version of Final Fantasy 13, which will probably not come out until right before Christmas, a year from now. If you want to play in English, you'll be playing in 09.
The big thing about PlayStation, and I've noticed this a lot lately, is I have been playing it lately as much as my 360 because of Uncharted and because of Pain.
Yeah, Uncharted.
I
mean, and
I will throw those games in and I will play them just as much. And I think the only way that it won't happen is because with my PlayStation 3, it's more like my exclusive machine. The games that are exclusive to the PlayStation 3 I usually buy on there because, to be honest, the differences between the two have been very minimal. And with Xbox Live, I have the ability to chat with people while I'm playing my games. Plus, I have achievements, and I'm such a whore for those.
Yeah.
Graphics are about the same. There's rarely a game that's much better on the other one. There's been a few exceptions, and usually it's in the 360's favor.
Yeah.
So that part doesn't matter to me. But when there are games to play, I will play my PS3 as much. Like with Uncharted, I mean, I played that 4 or 5 times over the last week. So it's just a matter of having the games. But what do you think about the system? Your pros and cons, the actual system itself.
Well, the obvious con for 360 is hardware failure, and because of that, my gaming preference is kind of changing. Mine's going to be a little bit different than yours when it comes to like a single player game. Like, take, for instance, something like Assassin's Creed or Devil May Cry 4. I might be actually picking those up for PS3. And for my 360, I'll probably play games that are multiplayer on 360 because 360 is basically the multiplayer machine. So I'll be playing the multiplayer games on 360 and the 360 exclusive titles. You know, like Mass Effect or next year Lost Odyssey.
Yeah,
I'll be playing those on the 360. So my gaming preference is going to be a little bit different than yours, just because I feel a little burned about hardware failure.
Well, yeah, I can understand that.
So I don't want to. I really wish that Mass Effect was on PlayStation 3 because I'd probably pick it. I'd probably have.
You just
it for,
made the entire audience just their heads just exploded.
Yeah. but I mean, seriously, about 1 month ago, it would have been different, but between the hardware failure of my 360 and receiving the beautiful gift of the PlayStation 3, things have kind of changed, but I still love 360.
Hold on a minute while I use my powers of persuasion and change your mind.
Yeah.
No, I completely understand. You know, honestly, if it wasn't for achievements, And honestly, I really like Rumble. I'm super excited about the DualShock. I am super excited. I almost want to import it because I miss Rumble so bad in my games. Like Uncharted, I just dream about what it's going to be like when I can play with Rumble.
Didn't they integrate Rumble into Uncharted?
Yeah, it is in there. You can select it, but the controller's not out over here yet. And when it comes out, I'm going to be pumped because I love Rumble. I just do. And I love achievements. And you know, those are my two big things that keep me on Xbox 360.
Yeah, and then you got Little Big Planet is coming out in next year, and that's going to be a really good game for a PlayStation 3.
I look forward to playing that. I mean, I really look forward to being able to play more PlayStation 3 games that are exclusive and stuff. So, I mean, I like my PlayStation 3. I really want Rumble. I really do. And when they introduce the achievement system, you know, I may start switching over to the PlayStation 3 2 more as well, but...
Because about a month ago, I was pretty much like pro, you know, pro 360. I was also interested in the PlayStation 3 between Ratchet and Clank and like Eye of Judgment, and I was also very curious about Uncharted. But over the past month, man, it's kind of like I like both systems like equally.
Mm-hmm.
I like both of them just as much, but for different reasons. So, it's like, who knows what my gaming habits are going to be in a year from now.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never can tell. But either way, you're going to be playing a shitload of great games.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And the last question comes from Unreal Arbiter, and we're going to talk about this for a little bit. We don't want to go too much into this, but with the controversy surrounding GameSpot, and basically, for those of you that don't know, and if you read gaming news, there's no reason not to know, a 10-year veteran of one of the biggest sites on the internet was fired. And the rumblings and grumblings from the underworld of video games is because of his tone, not his score, his tone, while he was reviewing Kane and Lynch Dead Men for the Xbox and PlayStation 3. And basically, GameSpot was running a giant advertising campaign for Kane and Lynch.
Okay.
And initially, the way it usually works is the advertisement will link to the review.
Yeah.
Well, after the review, Eidos had them change the link to go to the Kane and Lynch website instead of the review. And they're basically talking about that he was fired because he gave a bad review to a game. Now, the big question that rises from this is, can you really trust review sites now? Can you trust that they're being honest, or are they being paid? And this has always been a point of controversy, and everybody will accuse every website of being paid off by a certain company, and which I've never believed that to be true. I don't believe that certain websites... I believe people on the website have their preferences.
Yeah.
I don't believe that they're paid. And for the record, I never really cared much for Jeff Gerstmann, but I didn't want him to be fired. I thought he should be able to voice his opinion on whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
That's the way the video game world works. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one. And more often than not, you're going to see it even if you don't want to. That was a really bad analogy.
That was.
I'm sorry for that.
That was really bad.
That was really bad. He wants to say, he wants to see if this is the beginning of the end for their site. And honestly, I think that their site has lost a lot of credibility because of this.
Jeez.
I mean, I really think that because of this issue, and some of the things I've read online, I've really tried to follow this, and I've heard a couple people, random sources, so you know, whether or not you can take them with a grain of salt, basically saying that games like Ratchet and Clank, because it was infamous that he was the one that gave the Ratchet, he oversaw the Ratchet and Clank review, which got the 7.5. He is also the famous person that gave Zelda the Twilight Princess an 8.8. You know, he has definitely gotten a lot of media attention.
So basically, he's like Edge Magazine.
Yeah, he's given a lot of high-caliber games lower-than-average scores. And I guess it's been on some tension from the site, and I, you know, whether or not he did that just to get attention is irrelevant to the fact that the site, from what I heard, was trying to get him to focus more on, I believe the quote was, top-tier titles should get more attention, basically translating to should get higher scores. So, I don't, you know, I think this sucks.
It does.
I think it's a terrible act, and I tend not to pay much attention to GameSpot's reviews anyway. And
yeah, me neither.
And it's funny because even Penny Arcade has touched in on this, and they've touched on IGN over the last couple weeks with their 7-9 review scale. That's apparently their review scale. The game only gets between a 7 and a 9.
Yeah.
So, it's hard to tell this day and age with reviewers. But at the same time, it's always going to be their opinion. And they should never be shut down for it. They should never be censored for it.
Yeah, it's like you hire someone to write based on their opinions, and then when their opinions don't agree with their opinions, then they're like, okay, you're fired. I mean, what kind of job security is that?
I mean, nobody's really come out and said yet that pressure from Eidos is what caused him to get fired. And I don't think you're ever going to hear somebody come out and say yes, because Eidos, you know, threatened to take away hundreds of thousands of dollars of advertising, that we fired him.
Yeah, because if they actually did admit to it, then people would basically just say, screw that whole company.
Yeah, and it was really cool. I don't know if you saw this, but it was really cool that the staff, some of the staff from 1UP and Ziff Davis actually went, because their offices are real close to GameSpot's, actually went out and protested right out in front about him getting fired.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was really cool to see. Even competition can unite in this kind of bullshit, really. And I agree with it. I agree that he shouldn't be censored. Do I have to agree with him? No. Do I have to agree with the fact that he gave it a 6? No. Do I have to agree with the fact that when he talked about it, he sounded like he hated it? So what? You know, if he didn't like the game, oh well. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
If he thought Ratchet & Clank was a 7.5, which I don't agree with him and I don't like the game, it was still his opinion. And you know what? That 7.5 that he gave Ratchet & Clank gave GameSpot so many more hits. You know how much revenue he generated with that 7.5? And that 8.8 that he gave Zelda?
Oh, man. Big time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't agree with this.
It's kind of an attack on freedom.
It's kind of an attack on freedom, but at the same time, it's like it's just wrong to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't... People are always going to bitch about reviews. People are going to bitch about my reviews. People do bitch about my reviews. I've heard it a million times over. It don't matter to me. I don't care. If you don't like my review, don't read it. I mean, that's my opinion of it. You can't expect me to like everything that you like, and you can't expect me to hate everything that you hate.
Have you noticed that this podcast has become very serious over the past few minutes?
Over the past few minutes? And well, it's
we're having like a coffee sipping discussion now.
Well, it's an issue that has been plaguing the industry for a while, and this kind of solidifies the fact that it might be true.
Yeah.
That there may be some places out there that are willing to shut people down just because they don't have the same opinion as everybody else.
Shut people down, firing people.
I did watch his video review that was immediately ripped from the website.
Oh, man. I was wanting to see that.
And
they took it off.
Oh, there's plenty of places to see it. It's been YouTubed everywhere.
Oh, okay.
That's good. If you want to watch it, just go to YouTube and search for, like, Gertzman, Kane and Lynch review. And I do have to agree that when he talked about that game, even though he gave it a 6, it sounded like he wanted to give it a 0. I mean, he had nothing good to say about that game. And his tone just sounded like he was pissed. He was pissed that he had to play the game.
Man.
I mean, it was really bad, and I can understand an advertiser being unhappy about it, but this kind of measure for it, you can't fire somebody for doing their job.
That's
think
true.
That's really the end result of that. You can't fire somebody for doing their job. And I think what he's done is going to set a standard for the industry. It's like, you can't censor people's opinions. And some people are going to go for it and just do it anyway, but I don't know.
It is a touchy subject.
It is a very touchy subject, and I'm sure that it happens more often than we're aware of.
Yeah.
But as it stands right now, this is going to be in the public's eye, the gaming public's eye, for many, many weeks to come. So we're going to have to see how it pans out. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Mr. Gerstmann pop up at another website.
Yeah.
He'll get hired quick, as long as that website is, you know.
Because this controversy, he has an added air of almost celebrity.
And credibility.
Yeah, so somebody's going to rehire him back, and he's going to be back at it in no time.
A lot of people are talking they want him to go to 1UP. So that would be interesting.
That would be very interesting.
As many people that leave 1UP to have one join.
Yeah.
It seems like there's always people leaving, but there's never anybody joining.
It's like everybody from 1UP is like going to some kind of like game developer.
Yeah, I know.
To work, you know.
Hey, some of the guys from GameSpot went there too, like Greg Kasavin. He's at EA now.
Well, that's cool.
So, apparently if you're a video game reviewer, you get to eventually go to a video game company.
That'd be awesome.
But I think that pretty much wraps up the show. Next week, hopefully, we're going to dive into the Game of the Year awards.
Game of the Year?
Yes.
It's not even the end of the year yet.
Yeah, but there's only one big release left. So we're going to talk about everything sans that game, which is Unreal Tournament. So you guys have posted a lot of really good categories. So keep posting them, because we'll keep looking at them. And we will definitely try to nail as many of them as possible, because I think it'll be fun to nail it. Because the crappy awards are more fun than the good awards.
Yeah.
Those are much more fun. And it always interests me to see what we're going to talk about as far as crap. So.
The crappy games.
But we're going to get out of here for now. So, Mr. Khan, if you would be so kind.
The sun will rise. Burning faces staring back at it, you'll see the light. As it shines oh so bright, you can't deny. What we had was something special, and I wait on the day when you are finally out of my mind. The day. Out of this mess, some days I wish we we could just turn back the time. I know that now we are just two different people whose love burned one day, but now that flame has died. The day.
Potatoes with a side of vinegar. I like to eat maple syrup.
Did you bring
syrup.
Your network adapter?
Oh, freak no. Freak no.
Freak no?
Yeah, freak no. Or if I was on Battlestar Galactica, I'd say frack no.
Wow.
Yeah, Battlestar Galactica, there's a lot of cursing on that show because they say frack this and frack that.
Frack this and frack that.
Yeah, like what the frack's going on? One episode in particular, someone told the other one that they were a mother fracker. I'm serious. I started laughing, man. I was like, oh my god, they're getting away with cursing on TV.
Do they say the F word or do they say frack?
They say frack.
That's retarded.
It's like in the future, frack is like the curse word.
Oh my god, that show will be banned from television in the future.
And they say it, like, all the time. It's like The Sopranos, man.
Well, frack.
Yeah. That was even a part where this guy was like, yeah, I saw you fracking that other guy, you know. And I mean, they use it the exact same way.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. The word frack in Battlestar Galactica is like the futuristic substitute for the modern day F word. Yeah. They're like, frackin' unbelievable, man.
Wow, that's frackin' stupid.
Yeah. But it's great.